Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We're talking today about how God approaches us, how He reveals Himself to us. In previous weeks, we've been discussing how we approach Him, but we will misunderstand our relationship, our getting to know Him, if we misjudge, don't understand that this is all His idea. This is all because He wants to know you. You don't have to talk Him into speaking to you. You don't have to be in the right place at the right time, have done everything perfectly, know the right doctrine, having done certain things in order to get Him to reveal Himself to you. It's His idea. It's His desire. He's not waiting for you to clean up your room before He can come down for dinner. He wants to know you and be known by you, spirit to spirit. One of our big problems is that we try to make things complicated. We try to understand every facet and question and motivation rather than just accept that God, through salvation, made you able to know Him. Period. Your spirit has been engulfed in His. You had a dead spirit. Being born in Adam, you were dead in your spirit. That's how Adam died. When he sinned, it wasn't his soul that died. It wasn't his body that died. It was his spirit. And being reborn, you and I now are alive in spirit, and we commune with God, spirit to spirit. Our problem isn't that we don't hear God in our spirit, or know Him in our spirit, or understand Him in our spirit. Our problem is that our soul doesn't know how to interpret, see, experience spirit, our own spirit. Right now, your spirit and God's spirit are fully united. There's no wondering. In your spirit, you're not wondering what God's will is for you, what your purpose is, what you should be doing today, tomorrow. Our problem is our soul. Our soul has gotten so used to doing things its own way that to give up that control, to not rely on the same crutches we have our entire lives, we come up with reasons we can't do that, or that God really doesn't want us to. When we set our hearts in our minds, in our lives, our lifestyles, to know God, odds are you are going to meet resistance most violently from your own soul. Because your soul doesn't want to give up control. Your soul doesn't want to give up those crutches and submit and become one with your spirit, even if it means being whole, being healed, entering rest. Even if your soul got a bag of gold, it still doesn't want to give up control to your spirit. So God woos us and draws us into circumstances and situations to show us where our soul is not capable of giving us life anymore. He starts to show us the crutches and how weak they are and that we don't need them. That started at salvation, where he restored our spirit. And now he's leading us through the healing of our soul and our body. And he picks and chooses what's most important to him. And this is frustrating right off the bat, because we figure that he's going to deal with first what bothers us most. And he doesn't necessarily do that. He has his own criteria, his own schedule about what he wants to deal with first, what he wants to heal, what lies he wants to expose, what crutch he wants to take from us. And the more we focus on simply letting him be the God, and letting our focus simply be on being in his presence, allowing him to reveal himself as he chooses, the more that is our new life, the more freedom he takes in changing us, freeing us, healing us, giving us purpose, joy, rest, whatever it is we feel we are lacking, whatever changes need to be made, he's going to make them. He's the only one who can remove those crutches. He's the only one who can heal remove our flesh. He's the only one who can heal us and bring our soul into union with our spirit. Now, we're joining him, and sometimes he even lets us know what he's doing. Not always, but sometimes. But if your number one goal is to know him as he chooses on his terms, then you will be so busy relating to him, knowing from him, knowing him, experiencing his presence, that all these other things you won't even notice, that you're giving things up, that you're being changed, that you're having to go back and correct things. Because those things aren't there because they're important. That need for healing, that woundedness, that lie, those crutches in your life are there to show your need for God. He doesn't hold them against you. They are merely the circumstances that he has used to bring you to the place you're at today. Odds are, knowing him will feel totally different, will be to- totally different, will look totally different than what you expect. But as he reveals himself, as he heals you, you will more easily accept what he is revealing to you. You have no idea what he has in store for you. When we start to think about all the things, even think about how huge the universe is, and we get concerned about our own little problems, when God wants to teach you to rule and reign, rule over yourself and reign over your circumstances. When he has given you the universe as merely an extension of something that he has created, we can't comprehend, and yet he wants us to. He wants to make us able to accept the reality that he shares with us. Now, this is not about what you believe. It's not, Christianity is not about believing the right things. It's not about believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that if you believe in him, that he was born, entered into this earth as a man, fulfilled the promises, died as the Son of God, being crucified on the cross for our sins, and rose again. That believing that doesn't bring you into a relationship with God. Being in a relationship with God is what brings you into a relationship with God. Odds are you are seeking information in an area about God. That's probably one of the reasons you're listening to a program like this, is that you're interested in learning. Well, basically right there, there's an acknowledgement that there's an area that you don't have all the information that you think you should. If you thought you knew everything, odds are you wouldn't be studying it. So just by acknowledging that there's things about God that you don't know, you've made an area for God to reveal himself to you. And we just want to broaden that and say, God, whatever it is you want to talk to me about, I'm open. And I'm willing to change my beliefs. I just want to know and have that certainty, that confidence that it's you, that it's from you. Whatever that change is, Lord, if it's from you, I don't care what it is. And he wants us to question, because he doesn't want us to have our confidence and faith in what we believe. He wants to prove himself. He wants us to know him by experience. Not because it's what makes sense or what's been taught or because we've even had a related, maybe, you know, feeling or experience healing, but because we've talked with him. And this is so frustrating for unbelievers who say, prove there is a God. And you say, well, how can I prove something that I only can know by experience. If I was to ask you, what's your favorite ice cream? And you said, you know, chocolate chip. And I said, why? Well, the why doesn't really matter. It's you've had the chocolate chip ice cream and you like it. It's your favorite. You've had it, and that's, you know, that's not really something you really need to do, is figure out, okay, why is it your favorite? It's just you like it. And you might have a different favorite tomorrow. But to try to argue with you, to say, no, that's not your favorite, it's pretty presumptuous. It's like if we try to argue with someone who has walked on the moon and say, no, you didn't. You didn't walk on the moon. Now, what kind of foolishness is that? You may not believe that they walked on the moon, but isn't that arrogance to tell somebody you didn't walk on the moon? Just because you haven't walked on the moon yourself. You don't think it's possible, so it couldn't have happened. So unbelievers think that because they have not experienced God, there can't be a God. And anybody who believes in God is delusional. Isn't that arrogant? And yet, we try to defend God by beliefs rather than by experience. And frankly, that's what I tell those people. I say, well, would you be open to knowing God? If there was a God and he made himself known to you, would that be okay with you? Now that gets quite a variety of responses. But it pretty well puts the conversation to rest, because that's the only way anybody will ever be convinced that there is a God, is by experience. And if you don't have an experience with God, there's no way of believing in him. You can believe about him, and you can know about him. And I've shared many times how, through the various ministries I've been involved in, how scarily often it happens that during a leadership meeting or convention or conference, where some pastors and leaders and teachers that have thousands and sometimes tens of thousands of congregants in their congregation, and during one of these meetings, they actually have a salvation experience. They actually hear God for the first time. Because that's not what we expect. We expect that somebody who can talk the talk and maybe even walk the walk is doing so because they have walked on the moon. They've experienced God, but maybe not. And that's why your relationship with God can't be based on somebody else's teaching, somebody else's experience. You have to walk on the moon for yourself. And then no one can take it from you. Doesn't really matter how anybody argues with you. And that's what God is drawing you to. He wants you to come walk on the moon with him. This is why he made it possible for salvation, for us to have a restored spirit, so that we could be one with him in our spirit. And that starts the process, again, of his healing bringing into alignment our soul. So we learn to overcome our flesh. And he teaches us how to overcome the world system. We overcome our flesh through God revealing the lies that we've believed, what his truth is, and our releasing that to him. And how we overcome our flesh is probably what's going to take the most amount of time, the most amount of effort, and in some ways, our greatest frustration, because it is the least under our control. But he also, and if you want more information, we talked a little bit about that, or more about that last week. But he also wants you to learn how to overcome this world system. Now, we have the three enemies: the world system, our flesh, and Satan. Jesus has already overcome Satan and his cronies and the world system, but he has not overcome the flesh. That's something we have to do, because he didn't have any. He couldn't overcome it because he didn't have any. Now, he came up against the world system, defeated it. He came up against Satan, and he defeated him. So because we are in him, we can learn directly from him how to do that, what it looks like, but not our flesh. That's why it's the most troubling. And as I say, it takes the longest amount of time, relatively speaking. But so how do we overcome the world system for ourselves? As I said, Jesus has already overcome the world system when he was here. So in our spirit, we also have overcome the world system because we are in him. And we are, as he overcame the world system, we were in him then. Remember, time is a created thing. In our spirits, time has no effect. So we were in Christ even as he hung on the cross. Even as he was born as a baby, we were in him as he went through his triumphs and tragedies here on this earth, including overcoming the world system. But our soul and our body has still not walked this out in reality here in our circumstances, in our life. So God creates specific circumstances designed for each one of us on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis to learn how to overcome the world system through dependence on him, through allowing spirit to flow through our spirit into our soul. He teaches us to overcome the world and to learn to know him in our entire being, just as we know him in our spirit now. So, though we have overcome the world in our spirit, we are also overcoming the world in our soul and body as we learn to know him. So, what is the world system? First, it has a life of its own. And just as the flesh will doesn't want to die, your soul doesn't want to give up control, the world system of which you are a part will put up a fight to keep you from learning to rest in knowing God in his time and in his way. The world system is those very much strongholds that are part of your life and very often part of your belief system, but very often cultural and part of whatever even stage of life you're in that restrict or affect how you live your life. things like peer pressure, time pressure, even just coming up against the world's stereotypes and standards. How, you know, our friendships, how religion works in our lives, our expectations, our past, present, and future, how we see ourselves, time. Time is a big part of the world system. Time itself is a natural part of our existence, but we give it power in the world system, that we have to be productive. We have to make use of good time. We are haunted by our past and anticipate our future so that we often don't enjoy our present. Well, that's part of the world system, is that we believe what we perceive about time. So as we set our mind, our will, and our emotions, our soul, to know God, we will come up against the world system. How are you spending your time? How are you planning for your future? How are you treating others? A variety of different things. When you, for instance, if you start to change your beliefs about who, how to know God, you may run into peer pressure from those at your church or your fellowship or your family. All that is the world system. Don't rock the boat. The problem is that if God is rocking it, don't try to stop it. Don't take what's going on in your life personally. Step back and say, okay, this is just part of the process. God has a purpose in it. I may or may not understand what it is. Odds are I don't know in its entirety, but I do know that he loves me and that this particular circumstance was specifically created just for me and just for right now. Lord, do you have anything you want to say to me about this? What's going on here? And let him speak to you. Remember, that's always our response. Lord, what do you have to say about this? Lord, is this you? Lord, am I supposed to take authority over this? Whatever it is, whatever your question is, it's not about, okay, I wonder, what do I believe about this? What do I know about this? Do I have any books that cover this? Who can I talk to about this? Turn to God first. Of course he has something he wants to talk to you about. Now, he may have arranged that circumstance just to get your attention, and he may not answer your questions. But guess what? You've let him in. He's been knocking on the door. You didn't even realize it. But because he put you in this particular circumstance, this particular situation, this is one of the reasons he uses finances so often. Finances, health, and important relationships. It's not that those are more important to him than anything else. It's they're more important to us. And he can put his finger on those. Again, your health, your finances, your relationships. Something goes on in there, and all of a sudden he has your attention. Wouldn't it be better to just give him our attention so he doesn't have to put his finger on one of those? So this week, as things come up, as questions come up, as decisions come up, ask him, ask the Lord, do you want to talk to me about this? Do you have anything to add? Lord, is this you? Are you in this? What's going on? And then give him some time. Really start carving up some time dedicated to him and allow him to reveal himself to you, spirit to soul, more and more. And we'll continue talking about how to do that, how to take practical steps to engage the Lord in what he is doing in your life. So you're not just riding along in the canoe with him, but that you're taking up an oar and you're with him. You're stroke for stroke. You may not even know where you're going, but you know he does. So we'll pick it up here next weekend. As always, you can drop me a line at diane@weekendprepare.org. It's always good to hear from you. And I get back to you as soon as I can. I do appreciate hearing from you. The website is weekendprepare.org. So when you get a chance, stop by there as well. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.